This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Standing in the rain with his head hung low.
Should I do it, Paulie?
You want it?
Yeah, I'll try it.
All right, here we go.
Yeah!
No, I got any better than that.
Well, I mean, it wasn't that much of a like guttural scream sort of win.
Yeah!
All right, that's how Woods does it. Good morning! Welcome back from the...
How does he do that?
Four-day weekend for us. Holiday weekend. Hope everybody had a safe and happy Memorial Day. It is Ben and Woods. It is Ben and Paul, unfortunately, this morning. Not unfortunately because of you, Pauly, or me. Unfortunately because, as you can tell if you're on our YouTube stream, and you can tell by the lack of Woods' guttural scream to open the week, we have lost our colleague, at least for today, and who knows how long. He went and had a nice weekend up in Joshua Tree. Everything seemed to go well. And then when he returned, started feeling a little tickle in the throat and was worried because he had strep throat. It was not that long ago, a few months ago, and he
it's
wanted
like every 6 months.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure that he didn't get that again because that was pretty miserable for him. So went in to maybe get some antibiotics, get that cleared up as quickly as possible, and they did a couple of quick tests, and bada bing, bada boom, he's got COVID. So he is going to be quarantining at home for at least the next couple of days. He's fine. He said was actually feeling a little bit better, and symptoms were very mild. So. Hopefully we don't have to shout out to his family anytime soon, but he is not here today, which means you've got me. I'm Ben Higgins. You've got Paul Reindel, our super producer and now executive producer and show host today. Paulie, how was your weekend?
It was okay. It was okay, my beloved Memorial Day weekend. I didn't get to do a whole lot. I hurt my back on Thursday night basketball. Had suffered back spasms, I think, really for the first time.
Welcome to getting older.
Yeah, that was
yeah, that's not fun.
That was the thought amongst all my friends was, God, we're getting older, aren't we? I've had like the back tighten up before, something like that. This was like sharp contracting pain about halfway through the game. Pulled myself, could not continue. Couldn't even like bend down to grab my water or take my shoes off. It was awful.
I mean, younger people get hurt and injured all the time. I mean, we watch sports. We know that that's the case. The difference between being younger and being older is that when you get older, you get hurt and you don't know why. There's like no reason at all. You just all of a sudden are hurt.
Just and you hurts go, to get out of bed.
I don't know how that happened. I didn't do anything. Why is this hurting so much? Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. That really is what changes when you get kind of 30s into the 40s. Like, how did that happen? Why am I in such pain right now?
Like, dude, I've had back soreness and tightness and had it lock up before, but this was like trying to take a deep breath, and it would just like the contracting pain, sharp, sharp pain. And then it was just so sore. I was so sore for like 2 to 3 days. It wasn't until like Sunday that I was able to like really kind of get around the house, moving around.
Was it a like a vertebrae issue? What was that, Paulie?
Well, I don't know if it was my back, my spinal cord.
I broke my back. Spinal.
Yeah, spinal. That's probably what it is.
Pulled a Mike Tyson.
But, gotta be very careful.
You know, shout out to, I think he's in the chat right now, Dr. Alex, my teammate. He was able to, you know, reassure me it wasn't like a pinched nerve or anything and help out right there on the spot and give me some good recommendations on how to mend the back.
Well, I'm glad you were able to make it because it really would be sad if it was just like me and Italian Paul. No offense to Italian Paul here today, but glad one of my coworkers was able to make it on a Tuesday after a long weekend that we have a ton to talk about. And when Woods posted on Twitter last night that he would be out today because of testing positive for the vid, is I think he put it.
The vid.
Yeah, I saw that one of our great tier ones, Brian, he's the photographer, right? Brian Sims.
Love Brian.
He's great. He said, oh, Ben's hosting. So, like, basketball and golf talk this morning. And yes, I am going to start with a little basketball and golf because I think it is really relevant. Yesterday, I spent pretty much all day, got a call around...
I mean, if you're the Indiana Pacers, how can you blow that game?
Yeah, no, that's not what I was going to talk about. Yeah, no. I got a call about 10 in the morning. I was actually just enjoying some Memorial Day coffee, chatting with my wife out in the patio, and I hadn't been looking at social media for like 10, 15 minutes, and I look down, and it's my news director at Channel 10, and I go, what is it? And she immediately goes, how quick can you go, can you come on the air? Can you be on at the top of our midday here at 11? And I go, what? With what? What's going on? She goes, Bill, with Bill. And I go, Bill. And she goes, Bill Walton just passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, that's terrible. I didn't even know he was sick. He seemed great. The last time I saw him wasn't that long ago. Seemed like he was the picture of health, but had been quietly battling colon cancer apparently for a while and lost that battle yesterday at the age of 71. And the tributes just have been pouring in for the last almost 24 hours. Bill Walton was truly, I mean, you can't start a conversation about the greatest athletes to ever come out of San Diego without Bill Walton being right at the forefront of the discussion. Even some things that maybe I had known at some point that I relearned about yesterday and kind of going through his life. For instance, from his senior year of high school at Helix through his junior year of college at UCLA, he never lost a game. They were undefeated his senior year. They won the championship his junior year at Helix, and then they went undefeated and won another CIF title his senior year. The freshman team at UCLA, because at that time you weren't allowed to play varsity ball as a freshman, you had to play on the freshman team, they clearly went undefeated. It wasn't even funny how badly they beat all the other freshman team. In fact, I heard they even beat the actual varsity UCLA team in a scrimmage. I'm sure they kept that pretty quiet. And then his sophomore and junior years, they continued on with that 88-game winning streak. I think he was part of like 70-plus games of that winning streak until finally his senior year they lost that game to Notre Dame to end the winning streak. But can you imagine, I mean, going 4 years playing basketball and never losing a game the entire time? That's unbelievable.
Yeah, man, that bummed me out really, really badly when I saw that news yesterday. He was such a character, man. He was so full of life and color and just the way that he would take over and dominate a conversation, whether he was on a broadcast or not. I'm going to miss that guy.
Yeah, we had a chance to talk to him a few times on this show. I have interviewed him. Well, I say interview, and it is in big air quotes.
You more just gave him a platform to ramble.
Yeah, you don't interview Bill Walton. You say a couple of words, put a microphone in front of him, and then he'll talk about whatever he wants to talk about for however long he wants to talk about it, and it was usually a pretty long time. Even Scott Van Pelt last night was doing a reminiscing of one time he had Bill on in 2017, and Bill started talking about Bears, not Cal Bears or Chicago Bears, just Bears, like Grizzly Bears, and there's like a shot of Scott on the set just putting his hands in his face, like just... I can't do anything about it. You can't really stop Bill from going. It just continues. AJ Cassaville had a great tweet yesterday talking about a game that was delayed 5 minutes because Bill Walton brought out the lineup cards at Petco Park and just started.
Who thought that was a good idea?
Chatting with the umpires and, you know, everyone that was down there is going, Bill, there's people, there's everyone's here for the game and you're just talking and we're now 4 or 5 minutes behind. We were supposed to start this thing a while ago and you just keep going and going.
That was Grateful Dead night, I think, at Petco Park. So, of course, you have to have Bill Walton there to throw out the first pitch, which he sailed over the catcher. And I remember that, and I think the video was going around yesterday because Annie was doing the in-game reporting for Fox Sports San Diego at the time, and she had Bill Walton and there was just no point in even trying because Bill was not getting rid of that microphone. it was so good.
Absolutely incredible. He was inspirational. He had time for just about everybody that he met and seemed to care about everybody he met. But as positive as he was, you just mentioned your back pain. He had such those debilitating spinal problems. It was like after 39 surgeries over the course of his career and after his basketball playing days. In 2009, he was facing like a total spinal collapse and it got so bad he could barely move. And even Bill, the pinnacle of positivity, said he contemplated suicide. It was so bad. And fortunately, he was able to get one final successful surgery that allowed him to live his life again for these last 15 years, ride his bikes, go out, be a speaker, do so much. He supported so many, not just basketball teams, but just everything in San Diego. Steve Fisher talked about how he didn't think he would turn around the San Diego State program without the support of Bill Walton, whose son Chris was one of his first recruits and then helped land many other recruits with like visits to Bill's house when they would come to town. And he just talked up the program, was about as high as San Diego State as he was at UCLA, really, in his later years. So did so much for the San Diego community and was a really fantastic guy, and he will absolutely be missed tremendously. So we'll do an official shout out a little bit later in the program. But I said basketball and golf, and the other story I just wanted to bring up quickly that absolutely broke my heart over the weekend was the suicide of PGA Tour golfer Grayson Murray on Saturday morning. And I know that Woods has talked about, you know, some of his mental health challenges and issues. I've had, you know, I have family members who do it. And it reminds me, though, that I can't and never will totally understand depression. I don't think if you don't go through it yourself, you can't picture it. Because I looked at Grayson Murray, and if you'll remember, he's the one who in January won in Hawaii at the Sony Open after giving up alcohol, was sober for 8 months, and you know he had been very open about his mental health struggles. He went out, he got help. He talked to people. He did the work to try to get better, and he got back to winning on the PGA Tour. I mean, he was undoubtedly, like, you think the success story, like, to show you can fight depression, you can get over it, you can get your life back, you can have success, you can be on top of the world. He was. He wasn't playing badly. He played decently the last few weeks. He was finishing still well on PGA Tour events. He's exempt for the next, you know, 2 years, safe through 2026 to, you know, make tons of money and be really on top of his profession and his career. And you think, how could a person like that who has worked so hard and has so much success and has, you know, knows what this is about and is being praised for it and, you know, has a support system, how can someone like that get so low that they could take their life? And it just reminds me that unless you are dealing with depression and mental health challenges, I don't know that I can ever truly understand like what's going through someone's mind like that. And it is so sad and such a heartbreaking story from over the weekend.
Yeah. I mean, you said it, until you experience that even a little bit, you just can't really wrap your head around it. It's, you know, I've dealt with depression, nothing to that extreme, but I've had friends go through that. I've lost friends in the past where kind of the same thing, maybe not PGA champions, but you're like, you seemed like you had such a good grip on life and you had everything and everybody loved you, and you just can't put yourself in their shoes until you have no idea what they're going through. And I just think, you know, kind of summing up Bill Walton's life and Grayson Murray's life. It's just, man, just be kind to people. Just be kind to people. It's very simple. You don't know what everyone's going through. Somebody could piss you off. You just don't know what's going on in their life. And yeah, that story broke my heart.
And don't judge by the outward smile or, you know, the ease of their manner or anything, that it is something that can be hidden and even fairly easily hidden to people who they were even close to. So, yes, Brian, I did start by talking about basketball and golf. With Woods not here, but we'll have plenty of baseball talk. We actually have 5 games since we last sat in these chairs on Thursday morning that the Padres played, and I believe they won 3 of them and lost 2 of them. We'll focus.
Sounds about right.
We'll focus certainly on the more recent efforts. You know, people have probably forgotten about what happened last Thursday by this point, but we'll go through it all and set the menu for the show today. Talk about the guests that we've got, including. As you'd imagine, a major league skipper who will be joining us in the second half of the program today. And it's not a Mike Schilt Friar Friday either, but hey, the Miami Marlins are in town, so you can probably guess who's going to be on the show today. I'm only sad that Woods isn't going to be here for it. So we'll let you know what's coming up. We'll set the menu for Ben and Woods on a Tuesday morning. Hope everybody had a great holiday weekend. Back to work. At least it's a short week. That's the benefit of the Monday holiday. You only have to face the 4 days until Friday. That is all coming up today with Ben and Woods after our first check of traffic. I believe Kelly is also back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Good morning.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Very appropriate choice there, Paulie. Just got an email. Jane's Addiction coming to Gallagher Square at Petco Park on August 11th. Second date on their Love and Rockets 2024 tour. I'm sure if Woods was here and not home with COVID, he'd give you an entire treatise on Jane's Addiction, band members, guitar players, the times he's gone and seen them in concert, probably 3 or 4 times, or maybe he hates Jane's Addiction, and we'll tell you why they're a horrible band. I don't have such strong opinions. Like that song, I think they're decent, right?
Yeah. I like them.
Okay,
I know Woods likes them.
Okay, so. He does like Jane's Addiction.
He would tell you all about, you know, the history of their bass player and everything.
Guitarist Dave Navarro and everything about Jane's Addiction, why they're called Jane's Addiction. Woods would have the entire story for you, but they are coming to Gallagher Square on August 11th, and I went on Sunday to the Padres-Yankees game, and boy, this weekend was absolutely packed out there in Gallagher Square. It looks fantastic. The redo, Padres really did a nice job on that. I had friends from my buddy from New York was in town. He is a Yankees fan, so want to thank him because the only game he went to was on Sunday, which guaranteed, he said, the loss by the New York Yankees. Look completely unbeatable, of course, until he gets to a game.
Right.
And then the Padres go ahead and win the one that they needed to on Sunday. But actually, he had really good seats behind home plate. And I went and sat with him for a couple of minutes. But then it started getting crowded, and I didn't have a seat. So I was going up to the press box and got waylaid by M. Peter in our sales department. He was in the Odyssey box. He said, come on in. We got a couple of clients, but it was pretty empty in there. So I called Scott and said, come on up to the box for a couple of innings. And we got to watch the game from up there. And it was pretty cool. It was fun to go to the game on Sunday. I'm going again tonight. We're celebrating my son's 21st birthday. Of course, he turned 21 last week, but we got the whole family and we're getting a suite for him and celebrating his 21st tonight. So hopefully the Padres can come through with a win against a very tough pitcher in Jesus Luzardo in game two of the series against the Marlins.
Now, have you and or Jack, your son, heard of the 999 challenge?
999. It's got to have to do something with nine innings in a baseball game.
That is one of the nines. The other two nines are nine beers, nine hot dogs, in nine innings.
We might be able to do the nine hot dogs. I don't think he's had nine beers since he turned 21, and that was like 7 days ago. He's just not quite into it. Yeah, he's trying.
You know what, Ben? There's a time for everything.
We've sampled different cocktails, like ciders, a beer, and nothing is really tickled his fancy yet, let's just say. He's trying to find something that he can enjoy. What did he hit? He said something he liked. It was a some sort of martini, like a mango martini or something like that. It wasn't bad, he said.
Son.
Just does not want to taste the alcohol at this point. So we'll see how I'm sure there'll be a beer or two consumed. I don't know that there'll be nine consumed.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
Maybe nine hot dogs. That could actually happen tonight. Here's what we got coming up on the program today. We will start with yesterday's 2-1 win over the Miami Marlins, which we'll have our Padres wrap up. I thought it was wasn't a great game by any stretch of the imagination. Teams combined to go 0-16 with runners in scoring position.
It was one of those boring, kind of tough to watch games, but hey, no complaining after a win.
But I thought it was interesting for a couple of reasons, and we can talk about it in our Padres wrap-up in our next segment. At 7 o'clock, I want to talk about what I think was the biggest development of the entire holiday weekend for the San Diego Padres. We'll do that, and since Woods isn't here, I've decided to replace Take on Woods today with a game of Padres Real or Fake. So I got a Padres player in the spotlight. I got seven factoids, and you're going to have to separate the real from the fake for your chance to qualify for that trip to Las Vegas and the concert ticket. So we'll do Padres Real or Fake at 7:10 this morning. 7:20 is Don't Do This. That's where we probably will talk about Angel Hernandez in the big news yesterday. Umpire unexpectedly announcing his immediate retirement from Major League Baseball. So we'll do that in our DDT segment. By the way, spoiler alert, that's a do this. Angel Hernandez getting out of the game of baseball. But we'll talk about that coming up at 7:20. 7:30, we'll talk about the Yankees series as a whole. Padres obviously losing 2 out of 3, but didn't get swept, which was probably the most important thing that you could do against an absolutely scorching hot Yankees team over the weekend at Petco Park. Then our second half of the show is guest heavy. It's Tuesday already. That happened fast. So Jesse Agler, voice of the Padres, will join us for the Incorporator at 8:35. And if you've got some words, you can start dropping them into our YouTube chat or sending them to me at Ben Higgins SD on Twitter for the vocabulary word that he's got to incorporate into tonight's broadcast against the Miami Marlins. At 9 o'clock, as expected, we will be joined by the skipper of the Miami Marlins, who also happens to be named Skip. Skip Schumacher will be with us, and I'm a little bummed because Woods isn't going to be here for this. So he's obviously mad that he's not here to talk to Skip. And I worry that Skip will kind of be disappointed that Woods isn't here. Not that, you know, he doesn't like the two of us, but it's always a little different. I mean, it hits differently when Woods is here. So we'll do our best with Skip. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about. They've actually, yeah, they have the second or worst record in the National League, but they've been playing good baseball lately. Even after yesterday's loss, the Miami Marlins have won 8 of their last 12 games. They've been getting really solid starting pitching. Not a ton of offense, but they've been staying in games. They've been competitive lately, and that thing could have gotten away from them really quickly, and credit to Skip for just kind of keeping it together, you know. It could have completely torn apart at the seams with the way that thing got started this year. And they've actually kind of bounced back and are playing some better baseball right now.
Talk about getting no help from upper management there.
No, none at all. I mean,
there was a point earlier in the season where, like, is Skip even going to make it to that Petco Park series at the end of May? And he has. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're all pretty sure he's just kind of managing out the string this year, both by,
That's a tough spot.
But it's by mutual decision, you know, in Miami that they all, you know, Skip doesn't want to be around for trying to do in Miami, you know, complete teardown again, which is fair. You know, Skip was the manager of the year last year. He shouldn't have to be locked into a team that is going in a different direction than the one he was promised.
We were in the playoffs last year.
And, you know, he'll have opportunities going forward. Where? I'm not sure, but there will be opportunities for Skip. And, you know, Miami with a new general manager, he should be allowed, whatever he's doing, to pick his own manager going forward. So it seems like that's what's going to happen next year. But for now, Skip is keeping it together, at least for the time being with the Miami Marlins. We'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. And then at 9:35, I invited on a longtime friend of the program, guy I've known for many years, Jim Brogan, who was a teammate with Bill Walton back on the San Diego Clippers in the early 1980s. And like Bill, is one of those guys who exudes positivity. Mm-hmm. You have a conversation with Jim, and you come away with it struck by just his outlook and his optimism, like you did when you spoke with Bill Walton as well, and wondered how much of that, you know, what they learned from each other back in the day when they played basketball together. And Jim's been a basketball commentator and basketball coach for many years, and I thought he'd have a good perspective on the life of Bill Walton. So we'll chat with him in our final segment at 9:35 today. And that's pretty much the schedule for the program. Sans Woods on a Tuesday.
That's a tasty menu.
We will get to our Padres wrap-up of yesterday's quiet 2-1 win over the Miami Marlins with the highlights from Jesse and, I believe, Bob on the call again with Tony doing TV this week with Don Orsillo. That is coming up next with Ben and Paul on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, enough with the Jane's addiction, Paul. We already talked about it last segment.
This one was the system just put this one in there. I told you, Woods programs the music for the show. He put in Jane's Addiction. He likes Jane's Addiction.
Woods programs the music for the show, except for our Tuesday morning open, which was my choice.
Yes.
Jukebox Hero by Foreigner. Other than that, pretty much every song you hear is a Woods choice on this program, which is fine. It's his wheelhouse, and I let him do that. And he's not here today. He is recovering from the coronavirus as we speak.
Some guys just can't handle Joshua Tree.
Apparently not. He went to that Integratron thing that my wife also went to. It's this weird, perfect sound dome thing. Had an amazing story about meeting his friend from the Afghan Whigs.
Pictures of the studio.
Yeah.
That he got to go check out, the music studio where they recorded, I think, their last album. It looked awesome.
It looked awesome, but also, to me, it looked a little scary, like somewhere in like a horror movie that's about a band's music studio.
Secluded cabin.
Secluded in Joshua Tree, and you go and people start mysteriously disappearing or something. That's what it looked like to me. A little creepy, actually, but Woods will give you the whole lowdown when he comes back, hopefully tomorrow. Maybe the day after that, maybe next Monday. I don't know. We'll find out when he's.
You better be back by Monday because your boy is going to be in Vegas Monday and Tuesday next week.
Paulie's got your anniversary coming up. Happy early anniversary to you and Megan.
Thank you. Yeah, Thursday night anniversary. We'll do dinner, and then we are playing Sunday morning, heading out to Vegas for a few days.
Well, it's the start of summer. Vacation time for everybody after Memorial Day.
It's going to be like 100 this week in Vegas.
That's doable.
But then it's going to cool down to about 92, 93, which is perfect.
We're actually going to Palm Desert this weekend for my wife's birthday, and it's going to be around 100, but we're going to get around to golf in and celebrate her birthday. But that's just two quick nights, and I'll be back for the show on Monday. I'm not going to miss any shows. So, all right, let's get into some Padres talk. We'll wrap up our 2-1 win over the Florida Miami Marlins yesterday in our Padres wrap-up. They've been the Florida Marlins for 8 years? But, you know, always living in the past. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
One pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Gordon is back. He is at the wall. Gonna look. Gonna go! Home run, Donovan Solano. First as a Padre as he gets his old team, and 1-0 San Diego in the second. 2-0 pitch, swung on, hit in the air to deep right field. Tatis back, all he can do is watch. That's a long home run for Jazz Chisholm Jr., his eighth of the year. And just like that, this game is tied 1-1. 3-2 to Cronenworth. Bender delivers, and outside ball four. Kim will score, and the Padres lead it 2-1. Suarez trying to collect save number 16. The pitch is a broken bat roller to third. Manny charges. He's got it. Fires to first in time, and the ball game is over. Robert Suarez, a 1-2-3 ninth inning, as the Padres get a bases-loaded walk after a pair of errors in the bottom of the seventh to go ahead and beat the Marlins 2-1.
Yeah, I just wanted to applaud Kimmy, you know, for getting that inning started. What a tremendous at bat. I don't know how many pitches there were, but how many? Nine? Yeah, nice nine-pitch at bat. Out of his tail off and got a pitch he could handle and smoked the ball to center and got us started. And took advantage of an opportunity, and Crony had a nice at bat. You know, we had some balls right on the screws, hit us some people with some people out there to bring home, and you know, they were staying in the right place. But you know, it was a big at bat by Crony, and the bullpen did their part.
Paulie, have you ever taken one of those Rorschach ink blot tests? You know what I'm talking about, at least, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have not done that.
They show you these just like splotches, and then the psychiatrist will tell you what do you see.
First thing that comes to mind.
And I guess there's some sort of like, it kind of tells them where your mental state is, like what you see. I don't know exactly how it works. I've just seen it on TV mostly, doing those Rorschach ink blot tests. And I think yesterday's Padres game is a bit of a Rorschach test for Padres fans. What did you see in that game yesterday? Because we all watched the same game, but I think a lot of people came to different conclusions about what that 2-1 win over the Marlins actually meant. If you're the kind of person who sees kind of a negative sort of ink blot, it was a pretty sad performance in which the Padres went 0-10 with runners in scoring position. Very reminiscent of last year's struggles.
Yeah.
They continued to not hit left-handed starting pitching, getting just one run against a very, very mediocre starting pitcher in Trevor Rogers that had been, what, 6 ERA going into the game. Other teams have been pounding him. Why weren't the Padres able to put up more runs? Looking at my ink blot here on the YouTube stream right now. I think they all look like butterflies, though, so nothing ever really changes. But if you're Mike Schilt, you saw a very different ink blot. And you saw what he said after the game. He said, good teams take advantage of opportunities that bad teams give you. And the Marlins, I said on TV last night, the Padres didn't so much win that game as the Marlins lost it and gave it to the Padres with two errors in the seventh inning rally by Tim Anderson, rally that really should have never happened.
Yep.
Padres didn't really do anything to deserve that run other than a really good at-bat by, you know, both Ha-Sung Kim and Jake Cronenworth at the end, fouling off pitches, getting to a full count, and eventually drawing the full count walk. And ultimately, if you're the kind of person who sees kind of a positive ink blot, you look and say, well, yes, they only won 2-1, but it's a one-run win, and that's something the Padres struggled with badly last year and are doing much better with this season. And you also had a lot of balls that were hit hard. I mean, the home run there by Donovan Solano, I think, was the 10th hardest hit ball by the San Diego Padres. The hardest hit ball was Jackson Merrill with the bases loaded in the fifth inning, and it just happened to go straight to Jazz Chisholm in center on a line drive. But you can also see the at-bat before that and go, Luis Camposano, why are you swinging out of your shoes with two strikes and one out on a ball, a sinker that really was kind of at the thigh high, like perfect to like hit somewhere and get a run in at least. And you're like falling over, swinging so hard, trying for a grand slam. It's like, it's not what you're supposed to be doing in that situation. So I don't know. I mean, you look at that game and you can see it any way you want. Was it a good win? Was it a ugly win? Was it just a game that the Marlins lost? How do you feel about yesterday's 2-1 win?
I mean, ultimately, I think it just depends on if you're a naturally optimistic or pessimistic person. Mike Schilt is a very optimistic person, almost to a fault, and we know that now at this point with Mike Schilt. I think a win is win is win. I'm not going to complain too much. I do think that I would tend to agree that the Marlins lost that game more than the Padres won that game, but you got to still hang in there. Like the bullpen coming in and just shutting the door for four innings of relief.
Correct.
I mean,
Adrian Morejon, two more hitless innings. His ERA is 2.08. He's been a really solid option.
He's kind of the go-to right now.
Long relief out of the bullpen for the Padres.
Yep, and I have loved what I've seen from Estrada. He didn't pitch yesterday. I know we're going to talk about him in a little bit. The bullpen's really kind of starting to come into shape, which is, I think, a big positive. Could the Padres have done better with runners in scoring position? Yes, of course. Did they just capitalize on errors? Yes, but you have to do that. Like, if they're going to give you a gift, you can't just waste it and leave runners on, which we've done that all weekend long. We've done it all season long. But a win, ultimately, I'm not complaining.
Michael King was also pretty good. I think we have Mike Schilt talking about Michael King. Five innings, not deep into the game, but only gave up the three hits, the one run on the Jazz home run, one walk, seven strikeouts, and Mike Schilt talked a little bit about the performance of Michael King after the game.
He had a fair amount of deep counts. You know, they put some good bats there. Well, excuse me, they're a patient off of him. Thought he did the ball well, you know, seven punch outs, one walk. Thought everything was good coming out. You just got to a certain point where after five, is it, what, 88, 89? You know, he probably could grab one or two guys, but that was really starting to get into Adrian's lane. So just made the decision, especially with Michael, you know, we're not going to limit his workload. We're going to pitch him when we need to pitch him, but you know, the tiebreaker went to Adrian today just based on the number of pitches and, you know, being the fifth at 89 and being in Adrian's spot.
Ultimately, they got what they needed from Michael King to end up winning that baseball game. I will say the one thing the Padres definitely did better than the Marlins, and it doesn't always matter, but in this game it absolutely did. They put the ball in play better than the Marlins did. Padres only struck out four times in the game. The Marlins struck out 11 times. So that's seven more options that something good like an error can happen when you're not striking out. And it did. Eventually, it happened a couple of times just by putting the ball into play. Now, most of those extra, you know, balls in play were just outs for the San Diego Padres. But they played a clean game defensively. They didn't give it away. They didn't make any errors or do anything. They walked fewer batters than the Marlins pitchers did. I think two walks compared to three and a hit batsman. And the Padres had more base runners, double the number of base runners as the six over the course of the game. Now, can you lose games when you have double the number of base runners as the opponent? Sure. I feel like we saw it a dozen times last year that the Padres found ways to lose those games. But ultimately, in baseball, you're going to have a much better chance to win when you've got traffic on the base paths. Now, you can give those away by going 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position, and the Padres did their best to keep the Marlins in that game yesterday. But fortunately, they also came up clutch. The Marlins were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position, and if you went to that game yesterday, you walked away feeling like Padres had a win, but you weren't necessarily enthralled by the best baseball game you've ever seen in your life. There are 162 of these things. They're not all going to be masterpieces, you know, of baseball perfection. And that was just one that exists in the continuum of baseball and ends up as a victory for the San Diego Padres.
You know, we have those games, it feels like every couple weeks probably, where if the Padres would have lost yesterday's game, we would have just said, you know what, that's one of those. That was so boring. It was uninspiring. Just flush it. Move on to today. Even with the win, it still kind of felt that way. But again, I go back to a win is a win, and I'm happy with that. I think it's great to get that first win of the series. You know, Lizardo pitching tonight for the Marlins hasn't been, you know, the Cy Young caliber type pitcher that we've seen in the past, but he's still dangerous. So to get that first one was a huge, huge thing for the Padres. I don't know if it had to do with the fact that it wasn't quite an early afternoon game, but it wasn't a night game either.
Technically, it was a day game. Anything that starts before 5 p.m. counts as a day game. And the Padres have been really good in home day games and really bad in home night games. So, you know, they're supposed to lose tonight and then win tomorrow in the day game in the homestand finale.
Lining up perfectly to win the series.
To do exactly what they've been doing all season long. I hope they win tonight because we're going to the game, but probably the toughest matchup with Jesus Luzardo on the mound against Matt Waldron for the Padres in this series. You know me, for me, it's never too early to keep an eye on what other teams are doing, but I think officially now we passed over the weekend the one-third mark of the Padres baseball season, and Memorial Day is generally also a day that even like baseball executives and coaches circle on their calendar is a good spot to kind of evaluate where your team is. Not necessarily make big changes yet or hit the panic button, but you've got an idea of who you are and where you stand after the first third of the season at Memorial Day. And Padres now, day after Memorial Day, are currently tied for the second wild card spot in the National League with the San Francisco Giants, who have been very hot lately. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday 8-4.
They're a streaky team. I feel like it was just last week they were riding an eight-game losing streak or something.
A week and a half ago, they were talking openly about how putrid they were playing and how things were looking so bad. They lost Jung-Ho Lee, their center fielder, for the season with an injury. And for a second, it looked like, well, maybe you can just count the Giants out this year. Like, they're done. Well, after that, they've won 9 out of 11. They beat the Phillies, who have been the best team in baseball. And they are now tied with the Padres, both of them passing the Chicago Cubs, who have been struggling and lost to the Milwaukee Brewers 5-1 yesterday. And Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee for the first time. He was booed by that Milwaukee Brewers crowd for leaving and going to a division rival for big money in the offseason. But the Cubs have fallen all the way back to 500. So right now it's the Braves, the Giants, and the Padres who are currently the three teams holding the wild card spots in the National League. Again, just one-third of the way through the season. But you start getting that idea of who you are and where you kind of fall in the pecking order of the National League after the third of the season.
Yeah, Dodgers have lost 5 straight or 6.
Yes, they have. They got swept by the Reds over the weekend. And don't look now, but the Padres and Giants are both just 5 games behind the Dodgers in the standings. That's not necessarily breathing down the Dodgers' necks, but it was like 7.5 or 8 a while ago. And if I'm a Dodgers fan, it's not a trend that I like to see, right, considering how much I spent on our team in the offseason and the fact that it looked like they were putting that thing away by the time May was over. And right, enough with the Jane's addiction, Paulie. We already talked about it last segment.
This one was the system just put this one in there. So I told you, Woods programs the music for this show. He put in Jane's addiction. He likes Jane's addiction.
Woods programs the music for the show, except for our Tuesday morning open, which was my choice.
Yes.
Jukebox Hero by Foreigner. Other than that, pretty much every song you hear is a Woods choice on this program, which is fine. It's his wheelhouse, and I let him do that. And he's not here today. He is recovering from the coronavirus as we speak.
Some guys just can't handle Joshua Tree.
Apparently not. He went to that Integratron thing that my wife also went to. It's this weird, perfect sound dome thing. Had an amazing story about meeting his friend from the Afghan Whigs.
I saw the pictures of the studio.
Yeah.
That he got to go check out, the music studio where they recorded, I think, their last album. It looked awesome.
It looked awesome, but also, to me, it looked a little scary. like somewhere in like a horror movie that's about a band's music studio.
Secluded cabin.
Secluded in Joshua Tree. And you go and people start mysteriously disappearing or something. That's what it looked like to me. A little creepy, actually. But Woods will give you the whole lowdown when he comes back. Hopefully tomorrow. Maybe the day after that. Maybe next Monday. I don't know. We'll find out when he's...
You better be back by Monday, because your boy is going to be in Vegas Monday and Tuesday next week.
Paulie's got your anniversary coming up. Happy early anniversary to you and Megan.
Thank you. Yeah, Thursday night anniversary. We'll do dinner, and then we are playing Sunday morning, heading out to Vegas for a few days.
Well, it's, you know, it's the start of summer vacation time for everybody after Memorial Day.
It's going to be like 100 this week in Vegas.
That's doable.
But then it's going to cool down to about 92, 93, which is perfect.
We're actually going to Palm Desert this weekend for my wife's birthday, and it's going to be around 100, but we're going to get around to golf in and celebrate her birthday. And then, but that's just two quick nights, and I'll be back for the show on Monday. I'm not going to miss any shows. So, all right, let's get into some Padres talk. We'll wrap up our 2-1 win over the Florida Miami Marlins yesterday. Whoa. In our Padres wrap up. They've been the Florida Marlins for like, 8 years? But, you know, always living in the past. We'll do that after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh, my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
One pitch hit in the air to deep left field. Gordon is back. He is at the wall. Gonna look. Gonna go. Home run, Donovan Solano. First as a Padre as he gets his old team. And 1-0 San Diego in the second. 2-0 pitch swung on. Hit in the air to deep right field. Tatis back. All he can do is watch. That's a long home run for Jazz Chisholm Jr., his 8th of the year. And just like that, this game is tied 1-1. 3-2 to Cronenworth. Bender delivers, and outside, ball 4. Kim will score, and the Padres lead it 2-1. Suarez trying to collect save number 16. The pitch is a broken bat roller to third. Manny charges. He's got it. Fires to first in time, and the ball game is over. Robert Suarez, a 1-2-3 ninth inning, as the Padres get a bases-loaded walk after a pair of errors in the bottom of the seventh to go ahead and beat the Marlins 2-1.
Yeah, I just wanted to applaud Kimmy, you know, for getting that inning started. What a tremendous at bat. I don't know how many pitches there were, but how many? 9? Yeah, nice 9-pitch at bat. Out of his tail off and got a pitch you could handle and smoked the ball to center and got us started. And took advantage of an opportunity, and Crony had a nice at bat. You know, we had some balls right on the screws, hit us some people with some people out there to bring home, and you know, they were staying in the right place. But you know, it was a big at bat by Crony, and the bullpen did their part.
Paulie, have you ever taken one of those Rorschach ink blot tests? You know what I'm talking about, at least, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I have not done that.
They show you these just like splotches, and then the psychiatrist will tell you what do you see.
First thing that comes to mind.
First thing that comes to mind. And I guess there's some sort of like, it kind of tells them where your mental state is, like what you see. I don't know exactly how it works. I've just seen it on TV mostly, doing those Rorschach ink blot tests. And I think yesterday's Padres game is a bit of a Rorschach test for Padres fans. What did you see in that game yesterday? Because we all watched the same game, but I think a lot of people came to different conclusions about what that 2-1 win over the Marlins actually meant. If you're the kind of person who sees kind of a negative sort of ink blot, it was a pretty sad performance in which the Padres went 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. Very reminiscent of last year's struggles.
Yeah.
They continued to not hit left-handed starting pitching, getting just one run against a very, very mediocre starting pitcher in Trevor Rogers that had been, 6 ERA going into the game. Other teams have been pounding him. Why weren't the Padres able to put up more runs? Looking at my ink blot here on the YouTube stream right now. I think they all look like butterflies, though, so nothing ever really changes. But if you're Mike Schilt, you saw a very different ink blot. And you saw what he said after the game. He said, good teams take advantage of opportunities that bad teams give you. And the Marlins, I said on TV last night, the Padres didn't so much win that game as the Marlins lost it and gave it to the Padres with two errors in the seventh inning rally by Tim Anderson, rally that really should have never happened. Yep. Padres didn't really do anything to deserve that run other than a really good at-bat by, you know, both Ha-Seon Kim and Jake Cronenworth at the end, fouling off pitches, getting to a full count, and eventually drawing the full count walk. And ultimately, if you're the kind of person who sees kind of a positive ink blot, you look and say, well, yes, they only won 2-1, but it's a one-run win, and that's something the Padres struggled with badly last year and are doing much better with this season. And you also had a lot of balls that were hit hard. I mean, the home run there by Donovan Solano, I think, was the 10th hardest hit ball by the San Diego Padres. The hardest hit ball was Jackson Merrill with the bases loaded in the fifth inning, and it just happened to go straight to Jazz Chisholm in center on a line drive. But you can also see the at-bat before that and go, Luis Camposano, why are you swinging out of your shoes with two strikes and one out on a ball, a sinker that really was kind of at the thigh high, like perfect to like hit somewhere and get a run in at least. And you're like falling over, swinging so hard, trying for a grand slam. It's like, it's not what you're supposed to be doing in that situation. So I don't know. I mean, you look at that game and you can see it any way you want. Was it a good win? Was it a ugly win? Was it just a game that the Marlins lost? How do you feel about yesterday's 2-1 win?
I mean, ultimately, I think it just depends on if you're a naturally optimistic or pessimistic person. Mike Schilt is a very optimistic person, almost to a fault, and we know that now at this point with Mike Schilt. I think a win is a win is a win. I'm not going to complain too much. I do think that I would tend to agree that the Marlins lost that game more than the Padres won that game, but you got to still hang in there. Like the bullpen coming in and just shutting the door for four innings of relief.
Correct.
I mean,
Adrian Morejon, two more hitless innings. His ERA is 2.08. He's been a really solid option.
He's kind of the go-to right now.
Long relief out of the bullpen for the Padres.
Yep, and I have loved what I've seen from Estrada. He didn't pitch yesterday. I know we're going to talk about him in a little bit. The bullpen's really kind of starting to come into shape, which is, I think, a big positive. Could the Padres have done better with runners in scoring position? Yes, of course. Did they just capitalize on errors? Yes, but you have to do that. Like, if they're going to give you a gift, you can't just waste it and leave runners on, which we've done that all weekend long. We've done it all season long. But a win, ultimately, I'm not complaining.
Michael King was also pretty good. I think we have Mike Schilt talking about Michael King. Five innings, not deep into the game, but only gave up the three hits, the one run on the Jazz home run, one walk, seven strikeouts, and Mike Schilt talked a little bit about the performance of Michael King after the game.
He had a fair amount of deep counts. You know, they put some good bats there. Well, excuse me, they're a patient off of him. Thought he did the ball well, you know, seven punch outs, one walk. Thought everything was good coming out. You just got to a certain point where after five, is it, what, 88, 89? You know, he probably could grab one or two guys, but that was really starting to get into Adrian's lane. So just made the decision, especially with Michael, you know, we're not going to limit his workload. We're going to pitch him when we need to pitch him, but you know, the tiebreaker went to Adrian today just based on the number of pitches and, you know, being the fifth at 89 and being Adrian's spot.
Ultimately, they got what they needed from Michael King to end up winning that baseball game. I will say the one thing the Padres definitely did better than the Marlins, and it doesn't always matter, but in this game it absolutely did. They put the ball in play better than the Marlins did. Padres only struck out four times in the game. The Marlins struck out 11 times. So that's seven more options that something good like an error can happen when you're not striking out. And it did. Eventually, it happened a couple of times just by putting the ball into play. Now, most of those extra, you know, balls in play were just outs for the San Diego Padres. But they played a clean game defensively. They didn't give it away. They didn't make any errors or do anything. They walked fewer batters than the Marlins pitchers did. I think two walks compared to three and a hit batsman. And the Padres had more base runners, double the number of base runners as the six over the course of the game. Now, can you lose games when you have double the number of base runners as the opponent? Sure. I feel like we saw it a dozen times last year that the Padres found ways to lose those games. But ultimately, in baseball, you're going to have a much better chance to win when you've got traffic on the base paths. Now, You can give those away by going 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. And the Padres did their best to keep the Marlins in that game yesterday. But fortunately, they also came up clutch. The Marlins were 0 for 6 with runners in scoring position. And if you went to that game yesterday, you walked away feeling like Padres had a win, but you weren't necessarily enthralled by the best baseball game you've ever seen in your life. There are 162 of these things. They're not all going to be masterpieces, of baseball perfection. And that was just one that exists in the continuum of baseball and ends up as a victory for the San Diego Padres.
You know, we have those games, it feels like every couple weeks probably, where if the Padres would have lost yesterday's game, we would have just said, you know what, that's one of those. That was so boring. It was uninspiring. Just flush it. Move on to today. Even with the win, it still kind of felt that way. But again, I go back to a win is a win, and I'm happy with that. I think it's great to get that first win of the series. You know, Lizardo pitching tonight for the Marlins hasn't been, you know, the Cy Young caliber type pitcher that we've seen in the past, but he's still dangerous. So to get that first one was a huge, huge thing for the Padres. I don't know if it had to do with the fact that it wasn't quite an early afternoon game, but it wasn't a night game either.
Technically, it was a day game. Anything that starts before 5 p.m.
There we go.
It counts as a day game. And the Padres have been really good in home day games and really bad in home night games. So, you know, they're supposed to lose tonight and then win tomorrow in the day game in the homestand finale.
Lining up perfectly to win the series.
To do exactly what they've been doing all season long. I hope they win tonight because we're going to the game, but probably the toughest matchup with Jesus Luzardo on the mound against Matt Waldron for the Padres in this series. You know me, it's never too early to keep an eye on what other teams are doing, but I think officially now we passed over the weekend the one-third mark of the Padres baseball season, and Memorial Day is generally also a day that even like baseball executives and coaches circle on their calendar is a good spot to kind of evaluate where your team is. Not necessarily make big changes yet or hit the panic button, but you've got an idea of who you are and where you stand after the first third of the season at Memorial Day. And Padres now, day after Memorial Day, are currently tied for the second wild card spot in the National League with the San Francisco Giants, who have been very hot lately. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies yesterday 8-4.
They're a streaky team. I feel like it was just last week they were riding an eight-game losing streak or something.
A week and a half ago, they were talking openly about how putrid they were playing and how things were looking so bad. They lost Jung Ho Lee, their center fielder for the season, with an injury. And for a second, it looked like, well, maybe you can just count the Giants out this year. Like, they're done. Well, after that, they've won 9 out of 11. They beat the Phillies, who have been the best team in baseball. And they are now tied with the Padres, both of them passing the Chicago Cubs, who have been struggling and lost to the Milwaukee Brewers 5-1 yesterday. And Craig Counsell's return to Milwaukee for the first time. He was booed by that Milwaukee Brewers crowd for leaving and going to a division rival for big money in the offseason. But the Cubs have fallen all the way back to 500. So right now it's the Braves, the Giants, and the Padres who are currently the three teams holding the wild card spots in the National League. Again, just one-third of the way through the season. But you start getting that idea of who you are and where you kind of fall in the pecking order of the National League after the third of the season.
Yeah, Dodgers have lost 5 straight or 6.
Yes, they have. They got swept by the Reds over the weekend, and don't look now, but the Padres and Giants are both just 5 games behind the Dodgers in the standings. That's not necessarily breathing down the Dodgers' necks, but it was like 7.5 or 8 a while ago, and if I'm a Dodgers fan, it's not a trend that I like to see, right, considering how much I spent on our team in the offseason and the fact that it looked like they were putting that thing away by the time May was over. And it's just close enough where you could say, well, let's see what happens over the next month. And if there's still 5 or less games back when we get to the end of June, then all of a sudden you go, well, maybe the NL West is still in play, whether it's for the Padres or the Giants, if they keep playing the kind of baseball they've been playing. So that's your update from yesterday. When we come back, we got some Padres real or fake, try to qualify someone for Las Vegas. But I think there was one huge development for your San Diego Padres since we last talked to you. We will discuss the player in particular that may change the course of the season coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.